is probably at different stages in that process, but it's a large number, isn't it, when you think about it? But I guess the question we must ask in response to that is why, and why does the birth of this person called Jesus cause us, for a start, to come into this place today, and what should we do in response to that? Why have we gathered here to celebrate the birth of a man who lived in the Middle East for 33 years, 2,000 years ago? What is it about that person that causes us to do this here today? It would be fair to say, I'd like to see it challenged, that no one single human being has attracted so many followers and aroused so much opposition as a poor Palestinian carpenter who never held a degree, never wrote a book, never had a leadership position, and spent all of his adult life in a relatively small and, at the time, insignificant country. The prophet Isaiah was a holy man of the nation Israel who spoke 1,500 years before Jesus was born. And this is what he said. I've lost my clicker there, Jude. If you could have a search for it, that would be fantastic. He said this in the Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Thank you. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Today we understand that Isaiah was talking about the person Jesus. He was to be the leader of his people who would govern them forever. But what kind of leader would he be? If he never went into battle, he was never elected to office, the people, if his people at the time were under the rule of the Roman Empire, then how did this Jesus lead? There must have been something about him. There must have been something special about him. Maybe it wasn't just about what he said or what he did, but maybe there was something unique just about him. Just him, who he was. Maybe he was more than a child. Maybe he was more than a man. When Jesus of Nazareth was born, the messengers told some locals out on the field, as we've heard here today, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." What they were saying was that he is here. He's arrived. No more waiting. No more wondering. No more mystery. It's been made clear to everyone. It's been made clear to us. And today, it's been made clear to you. Even before Jesus uttered a word or even lifted a finger, the good news about him was being declared. It wasn't just dependent on his teaching or upon his miracles. From the start, it was about who he was, not about what he did and what he said. In fact, come to think of it, perhaps what Jesus said and did was just a pointer to who he was, a pointer to who he is. And I want to encourage you with that fact this morning, that often we focus and concentrate on Jesus' teachings, Jesus' miracles, but on the first Christmas, the celebration was that a son had been given to us, a child had been born to us, that the gift was in fact the baby and the arrival of this person on earth. Sometimes I think we run the risk at Christmas time of focusing on the gifts instead of the gift giver. That can be a trap for all of us. And the truth is, when it comes to following Jesus, sometimes we all run that risk as well. I often have this picture of someone arriving at a front door to visit someone, and they're driving a nice car. And they knock on the door, and their friend opens the door and immediately sees the nice car and pushes straight past the person and starts to look at the car, examine the car, worship the car. And their focus is totally on the thing that caused their friend to arrive there, but not on their friend at all. And then after a while, they say, can we go for a drive? Or I'd like to take it for a drive. And their friend says, sure, where can we go? And they say, no, we're not going anywhere. I'm going to go and pick up my friends and family and go myself. Their focus is completely on the gift or the method of arrival and not on the person who has actually arrived. At Christmas time, friends, we are to worship Jesus for who he is. Yes, he has done great things, but when he was a child, he was worshipped simply for the fact that he'd been born. The fact that he had arrived, the fact that he was here. Our Saviour, the Deliverer, was sent by God. He is his Son, he is God himself, and he has come, the one who has ruled, who will rule, has arrived. In another part of the Christmas story, these words are spoken. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. I want to reflect for a moment on if Jesus is God's Saviour, then what does he save from? If he died when he was 33, and if the Jewish nation, as it was known then, was taken over by the Romans 40 years later, what kind of Saviour is Jesus? Friends, today Jesus lives. He is with us right now by the power of his Holy Spirit. God declared his approval of his Son when he raised him from the dead and when Jesus ascended to heaven to govern as he was promised. He is bringing and will bring everything under his control. Today, now, he is present to all of us on earth by the power of his Holy Spirit. His salvation is multifaceted. It covers many different areas of our lives and our world, but mostly he saves us from ourselves and from our sin that separates us from God and from each other. And I want to ask you today, as you celebrate this Christmas, in what way that you have experienced his salvation. Maybe you're here every Christmas day, you're here every week maybe, and you know full well about the salvation of Jesus Christ. We read in elsewhere in Luke's gospel the words, who is this who can even forgive sins? Who is this who can even control the wind and the waves, the circumstances of our life? It is Jesus, Saviour, Messiah and Lord. So I want to ask you again, what do you do at Christmas time? What does it say about you and what you think, who you think Jesus is? The fact that you're here today, I want to suggest, does say something. It says something. But what is it saying? Is it good news or is it not so good news today? Is Christmas Day the pinnacle of your year, the high point of a year lived for Jesus and with Jesus and dedicated to his purposes? Or is this the first time that you've been to church in a long time? Is it once a year or twice a year, trip to church? Do you give Jesus every day or just one day? Is Jesus Lord to you or is he something else? Are you on your way into the church or are you on your way out of the church? Are you treading water or hanging by a thread? Is it about keeping up appearances or is there some sign of spiritual life in the fact that you're here today at Christmas? Because this is the time when Jesus, the Saviour and the Messiah, the Lord of all the earth, was born. Will this year's Christmas be just another Christmas? Or will it be the year and the forerunner for when your direction in life changed? Do you celebrate Christmas or do you just watch it go by? The good news is, as the scripture indicates on the screen in front of you, that Christmas is a time of incredible favour for all people. The fact that Jesus arrived on earth as God's Son and God's representative is a blessing to all of humanity. Not just those who say yes to him, but his favour and his peace are on offer here today. My mum, as I've told you many times, used to make a great deal of Christmas and celebrate it strongly every year. If Santa Claus is Father Christmas, my mum was Mrs. Christmas. But she went to be with Jesus 13 years ago, and this year, as we have done for the past 13 years, we'll be celebrating Christmas without her. My dad, however, has really stepped up to the mark in terms of making sure that our Christmas gatherings are special and that our Christmas gatherings are good times. So we'll be heading there for lunch in a couple of hours' time. But my dad in recent years has started doing something that I think is actually quite unique and quite special when it comes to what Christmas actually represents. As we're sitting there around the lunch table today, at some stage he will look at us, his four children and his grandchildren, his daughter-in-laws, and he will say, I want you all to know that I love you and I'm really glad that you came here today to Christmas lunch. And it catches us unawares because over the years it's not something my dad has said a lot. But I think with the absence of our mum, we've all realised the preciousness of being together on Christmas and what Christmas represents in terms of God's favour and God's peace being spoken over all people. You could say that my dad, as we gather around the Christmas table, is speaking favour over his children, is speaking a blessing over them over in his own way. But the good news for everybody here today, that the birth of Christ is God the Father's way of speaking favour over all people. And I want to ask you today, does the peace of God rest upon you? Is God's favour resting upon you? Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've said yes to him, I want you just for a moment to know that today you don't have to do anything. Some of you are laughing and saying, you've got no idea what I've got to get lunch off the table today, folks. But just for a moment, I want you to know that God the Father, through Jesus, is speaking his favour and his peace over you. Jesus, when he was born, he hadn't done a thing except arrived. He hadn't taught anything. He hadn't said anything. Christmas is the one day of the year when we can truly rest and receive the favour and the peace of God through the arrival of his Son on earth. So just for a moment right now, be at peace. Receive the favour of God. Recognise the fact that God has become one of us forever and that through Jesus Christ, his salvation is on offer. No matter what Christmas Day might hold for you today, I want you to be blessed and to be at peace. And for those of us who are fathers or mothers, maybe today's an opportunity to speak favour over our kids. Maybe there's something that we can say around the Christmas table that we don't normally say today, where we can just say, hey, you know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came. I'm glad we're together today. Do you think you could say that? I know as a man sometimes that uttering stuff like that is not easy. But I know that when my dad has the courage to speak over his family favour in grace, it makes all the difference to that Christmas gathering on that time. So be encouraged, men and women. God has already spoken favour over us through Jesus. Let's repay the favour and speak favour over those that we are with today. Do you think you can try that, folks? You willing to give it a go? Okay. Let's close our service now in prayer and let's do that now as we gather around in the name of Jesus here today. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are a good God who through Jesus has spoken favour over us, that the arrival of your Son on earth has changed things for us forever, that things are different for eternity because of the fact that you became one of us, that your Son has arrived here on earth. And Lord, I pray today on this Christmas day that you would help us to receive your peace and your salvation, perhaps in a way that we have never done before, and that in 2017 we would truly become followers of you as we receive your favour and your peace spoken over us today. Lord, I pray for every single Christmas gathering that's going to be represented by the people in this room. And Father, I pray that in some way they would recognise you for who you are, recognise Jesus for who he is, and that they would speak over others in their midst the favour and the peace that you have spoken over them. That this Christmas would be different, that families would be united and bound together, Lord, and that in some way healing and peace and salvation would occur. Lord, we thank you and we love you for everything you've done, but we certainly thank you for the first Christmas all those years ago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our team is here and ready, which is fantastic, and I'd like to invite them now to lead us on our final song, Mary's Boy Child.